what it is. This is Tyrus in for Brian Kilmeade today on the Brian Kilmeade Show. Always excited to be here, and I have my accoutrement of stuff with me. I got my two new books. Well, that's one's actually my daughter. And I've had a lot of cool guests, and I'm really excited. From the very first time I even started watching politics as a young man trying to figure out if this was a game I wanted to get into, one of the stoic, straight up, no BS politicians that I always had a tremendous amount of respect for is joining us today, and that is the great Karl Rowe. Sir, always a pleasure. Former Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor to President George W. Bush and Fox News contributor. I actually share a job title with you, which is kind of cool. Obviously, I'm sure it's a different pay scale, but, you know.
Yeah, Tyrus, I've never hosted Kilmeade. So you have done something that I have for year after year after year hoped for to be considered, and you're the man in the chair today. I mean, what does that say?
Oh, sir, your sarcasm, it's phenomenal.
No, but, not sarcasm, man. It's praise. It's praise.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I want to get into your predictions because I'm with you on a couple of them, but your last one, we've got to sit down and discuss. But before we do, I would be remiss and completely not doing my job if I did not hit you to get some of your wisdom and advice on current political situations. Fellas, please roll number 32.
There's so much going on overseas. Understandably, a lot of your focus has been on other countries. But when I talk to Americans, when I talk to your own voters, they want your focus to be on them, and they feel like it may be drifting. What do you have to say to them?
Well, Tony, we have the strongest economy maybe in the history of our country. Our growth numbers are through the roof. Our job numbers are tremendous. We have the highest stock market we've ever had. Today, we hit every day for the last, I think, 48 times out of 11 months. 48 days out of 11 months. We've had the number one stock market in the history of our country. So my big focus is here. But you can't be forgetting about bad threats. All of that is for the good of this country. So my focus is very much on this country. But you can't lose sight of the fact that we need peace all over the world.
So he's basically put it in a microcosm. Now, you can spread yourself too thin. I think that is...
Yeah.
I guess that is a concern, but I would push back a little bit. He is doing all these things with probably the greatest opposition, I think, in at least in modern times, that a president has faced with basically every decision he's made. Literally half the country has a problem with it.
Yeah. Well, yes. And look, we can get into, is this worse than Lyndon Johnson at the height of the Vietnam War? Or, you know, is this worse than Jimmy Carter at the, you know, with the Iranian hostage crisis and, you know, with double digit inflation, double digit interest rates, double digit unemployment? But the amazing thing to me is how much activity has happened in just less than a year. And also how... I wonder why the administration hasn't taken victory laps more. I live in Texas. I'm coming to you today from Austin, Texas. The border is secure.
Yes.
And the president has never visited the border. If he came to the border, it would draw the nation's attention to it. He'd be surrounded by Democratic sheriffs and Democratic mayors and down here that we call the county executive, the county judge. So he'd be surrounded by Democrat elected officials, many of them Hispanic, saying, thank you, Mr. President, for stopping this flood that was destroying our communities. And yet he hasn't done it. But you're right. I mean, there's lots of things happening now of great consequence. We're at the beginning of some of them, whether it's Venezuela or Iran, and it's going to be really important for our country to have these things play out to our advantage.
You know, you make such a great point, and that's something. Do you think that the president or the administration kind of is playing into the hands of the opposition, of the extreme left, by not ever take moments to show people results? Because that is such a great point, because we haven't really seen, we see things get done and then boom, it's right into another opposition, or boom, another explosive situation. So they're really, this administration has not taken time to smell the roses. And some people are like, well, that's a good thing. No, it's not, because you have to let the people know who are supporting you, that things are getting done and the country does not look like the image that's being portrayed on mainstream media.
I think that's right. And look, there's one other thing that goes in combination with that. The president's speech yesterday heralded a strong economy. Now, we got plenty of things in the economy that are problematic, and people don't feel good about the economy. So you got to be careful about the tone.
Right.
But one of the interesting things was that people do feel concerned about prices because inflation drove prices up. Our wages haven't kept up with them. And people are, you know, going, trying to take the family out to dinner or trying to plan a vacation or thinking about a household purchase. And they're looking at those this and getting sticker shock.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are making an issue of this, affordability. The president talked about that in Detroit, but he dismissed affordability as a hoax at the same time that he's saying, I'm going to make things, you know, affordable for you. You can't have it both ways. Better for him to if he is really going to put an emphasis on, I'm going to make an economy strong enough so that you feel prosperous and secure, then he ought to stop talking, you know, dismissing the affordability issue as a hoax.
You know, because that's the I think sometimes the best and with this administration, you can get some straight talk to say is to understand that the effects of the previous administration, it's going to take a lot more work and time in a year to get done. I think you have to remind them where we're coming from. And at the same time, you have to understand that you are doing this with all the movements or all the decisions or policies that a president is trying to enact. He's going every one of them is going to have 99% opposition from the Democratic Party, from the Senate, to from the House. No matter what he does, it's because it's him.
Right.
It's not the thing. And you make a, and then this will get into those predictions, because one of your predictions, and I hate that I agree with you, is that we probably might have a split Congress.
Yeah. The Republicans, look, it's the second midterm election. And that's not the best time for any administration. And midterm elections are tough. If you go back to, you know, the modern history of our country, since World War II, there have only been two midterm elections where the White House party gained seats in the midterm election. 1998, Bill Clinton, the Republicans had overreached on the issue of impeachment, and the Democrats picked up a modest number of seats. 2002, George W. Bush's approval rating is in the 60s, like Bill Clinton's was in 1998. And Republicans pick up seats in the House. But otherwise, the White House party loses seats in the House of Representatives. And with the margin that we have today, it's going to be really difficult for the Republicans to hold on to the House, in my opinion.
And but that's kind of the way America has always kind of been a checks and balance, you know. And, and typically, you would want that. You would want both sides of the aisle represented, and you would hope that both sides would work together for the better common good. But we're not
occasionally. Yes
but we're too busy calling each other liars and trolling each other on social media and stuff to actually get things done, which is a disservice to the American people. So on that prediction, I'm with you. And then another one, again, slower growth. I think we cannot emphasize, but it doesn't, coming from someone like myself or, you know, saying this stuff, it has to come from the White House. We have to, the press conferences, and we have to have them say, listen, it's going to hurt because this is what here's our plan. Here's how, and show us, he likes charts. So, you know, he loves charts now. So maybe we need to start showing the American people, which you are the master of the chart, the whiteboard. Maybe we need some boards up to show them this is how this could work if you stick with us.
Look, one thing I learned when I was in the White House is under promise and over deliver.
Under promise and over deliver.
Really important now in the economy. Yeah.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, do you think there's certain things you think that will speed growth up, or is it just there's just so much untangling of the I look at the last administration, our economy was a lot like a fishing line that you thought you could get the knot out, and every time you pulled it just got bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, you're cutting the whole line, which means you have to rerun the reel. And I think we're in the middle of the process of him trying to rerun the reel, but you also have to be careful about being too braggadocious. I think that's one criticism that I think is okay to say about President Trump, is that when he's focused on doing something, he's 100% in. But I think sometimes you have to let the American people know that this is not going to be easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, back to the point about, you know, talking about things that you're actually doing, I'm thinking about writing about this next week in the Wall Street Journal. Think about this for just a minute. When the government passes red tape and regulation, it adds cost to the economy. And we know the cost of the rules and regulations because when they flow through the process, the rule gets announced with a cost estimate of what it's going to require in time and money. That is put together by, you know, various entities inside the executive branch and certified by the Office of Management and Budget. So, for example, we know during 8 years that Barack Obama was president, roughly $800 billion of additional cost was added to the economy. Trump comes in 2017 and immediately undoes a bunch of that. And every dollar that he reduces in cost and regulation is a dollar that a company can use to invest in plants, equipment, or people.
Right.
Biden comes in and puts $1.8 trillion in additional cost on the economy in 4 years, to more than twice as much as Barack Obama did in 8. And now what is happening is that this administration is undoing a lot of that red tape and regulation. The president ought to be heralding this.
Yes.
But he doesn't talk about it. But again, think about it. If he undoes a bunch of that, what happens is that goes straight to the bottom line. That means American companies, big and small, have more money that they can invest in plants, equipment, and most important of all, people. And, you know, it'd be great for him to be, you know, out there touting that more. But, and again, under promise and over deliver.
You know, and I need to live my life that way as well, under promise and over deliver. That's a great point. Now, listen.
Yeah, your wife says in particular you need to under promise and over deliver.
Yes, 1,000%. wise advice. Now, listen. This is going to get a little hostile here. Now, this ludicrous prediction of yours, you have Denver in the Super Bowl, which means that means the New England Patriots would not be. So I have. I'm understanding. I know you're running the numbers. There's some secret stat I don't know about here.
No. Look, when it comes to sports and culture, music and movies, I'm just winging it. Look, I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, all right. There's some roots there.
Part owner of the Broncos. And I mean, I have to say the Bills are very impressive.
Yes.
Here as the season has drawn to a close, and they could be contenders. Are you a Bills fan?
Oh, I'm a Patriots fan, but I am well aware. I think this is the most dangerous Buffalo Bills team that has been in the playoffs, because he's beaten everybody he's needed to be in the regular season, and he's the most experienced. He's been there, and he's not going to be. And I think this is safe to say across the board. While we got two young quarterbacks, you know, in Denver and New England. And the Texans, I just feel that his experience and the big games he's played in makes, I think Buffalo is the favorite. I don't want to see it. And then, of course, if they get there, we know what they're going to do. So it's not going to happen anyways. I think the monster is probably Seattle, if I'm being fair. But at least, okay, I can respect the fact that because you have roots with Denver, that's why you made that prediction. So this wasn't broke down on the board.
Yeah, no, this is no. I mean, I did not spend 2 days in consultation with everybody, you know, in sports betting world and former coaches in the NFL and blah, blah, blah. No, this is emotional. I hope the Broncos have had a great season.
Yes, they have. But and they got a great coach. But here's the thing. The games have been phenomenal. I think it's been a nice distraction, with the exception of the Pittsburgh game. It was down to the wire. It was every game mattered. And I think it was a good break for a lot of Americans just to get back to yelling at things that don't matter anymore. You know, being mad at your favorite team or trashing the other team. That's the good stuff. We have to get back to that and not trashing someone because they have a difference of opinion on their policies or how they vote. So I'm hoping that at some point we can get back to all that. But, you know, if Denver, I think if Denver pulls through Buffalo this weekend, there's a good chance that your prediction will probably come to pass. I don't think New England's ready yet. But it's going to be great games, and I'm enjoying it, and it's nice to see that you're enjoying stuff. Now the board. Your famous board. Now I've seen whenever you're on, I always hear people want to update the board, and I absolutely refuse. No, the board is iconic. I'm hoping at some point I can get you on my podcast show, or I could be gifted a board, because I think it's the best way to make your point. Because for me, it's this: when I see you on the board, I think professor, educator, coach. Like, what he's putting up there matters. And I think we also do, we have a specific name for the board? I don't think board is good enough name. Like, we need to name this thing.
Well, I'm going to leave that to you. I'm humble in the presence of the board, and I know what the board insists that I do, which is take the most essential point that I want to make and put it on the board in a way that it sticks with people when they hear it and see it.
Well, it does, and it's become its own thing, and I'm a big fan of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I sit down in the chair, and the first thing that somebody says in my ear is, do you have a board today, and how many do you have?
Yes. So, yes. You know, this might be a marketing opportunity here for you.
Every facility around America.
You know, this is capitalism at its finest. And, thank you so much, Mr. Rowe, for joining us today. Always a pleasure. I every time I get a chance to speak with you, I always learn something, and I really appreciate that. Thank you for your time, sir.
Well, Tyrus, thank you so much. Congratulations on stepping in for who was the guy that you're replacing? I can't even remember.
Greg Kilmeade.
Kilmeade, yeah, Greg, yeah. Bob Kilmeade.
Yeah, Daryl Kilmeade.